Rev Tov, Saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is my wife and wonderful best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Shalom, everyone, and Erev Tov, which means good evening to all. And we hope you are enjoying your adventure, and it really is an adventure, into the book of Revelation. So let's remind God of his special blessing on all who study his unveiling of the end of days scenario that we are currently living in.
Abba, Father, hallowed be thy name, for you are our El Shaddai. And we thank you for offering to us that special blessing just to study your awesome revelation. And we do humbly accept your generous blessing with much gratitude as we lift up to you these recent prayer requests and for the salvation of our loved ones. May tonight's study be to you a pleasant aroma like the essence in your heavenly temple. And may thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you for our daily bread and your many other provisions. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. And we want to thank the listeners who have commented on how they are enjoying this study, for which we are grateful for the encouraging words. Tonight we will continue in chapter 4, which contains a lot of insights into the throne room.
But first, any important news to mention?
Well, actually, as we often say, too much to mention at all. However, we'll comment on this diplomatic alliance of Saudi Arabia and Iran, which was brokered by China, with the exchange of ambassadors coming soon.
This is awful.
Well, remember the covenant of Daniel 9:27. This is part of that groundwork, as is the Abraham Accords, that Israel had hoped to pull in Saudi Arabia.
Not likely now.
Iran and Saudi Arabia is like oil and water with Wahhabism and the Shiites. However, Israel is not happy.
As you might imagine.
And as I said, Israel had hoped that the United States would pull in the Saudis to join the Abraham Accords. But Saudi Arabia hates Biden. Sad, because it probably would have been done under Trump.
Yeah, I think so.
But the UN is elated. China is acting as the chief negotiator, bringing otherwise adversarial countries together with the hopes of uniting against America. China's goal is to be the superpower, but cannot be as long as the United States is dominant in the world. And we can't see China's maneuvering.
And Russia has also bonded with Iran as well.
Mm-hmm. Too bad for Israel. However, it is prophesied. Russia is receiving attack drones from Iran that is really doing a number on Ukraine right now. So Israel is in a real bind because they want to help Ukraine but are afraid that Russia, in retaliation, will close its airspace, making it impossible to attack Iran's nuclear bases.
Yeah, which they might just go ahead and do anyway.
Yeah, especially if Iran bribes them with more weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But China, although as a rule, is very patient. However, they are now on a mission, and they want to move, you know, while their compromised Biden is in office.
And to build up its military.
As well as their weapon stock and buying up our farmland to limit our food supply. And trying to locate close to our military bases to surveil. Why do you think that spy balloon hovered over South Dakota? It was gathering intelligence from the Ellsworth Air Base, and that's an important large bomb wing.
In other words, it houses very heavy bombs.
It does. So China has been trying to buy land near there through a third party, but Republican Governor Kristi Noem is on to them and says that it won't happen under her watch. Which brings us up to how Biden I want to remind you, at his State of the Union address, he said that we must only buy American-made. But, of course, he doesn't mention anything about how these companies are Chinese companies just under an American surrogate. So, yeah, we buy made in America, which they can stamp on their goods, but not necessarily owned by an American company.
Yeah, it's a real scam.
Like a Trojan horse.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, at least Congress is making some headway into the COVID origin with a bipartisan, in fact, it was a unanimous vote in the House to declassify all the COVID documents.
Yeah, but will Biden sign it?
That is the million-dollar question, but actually I think he'll have to, but we'll see what he wants in return. Other good news, what really happened on January 6th has been unveiled thanks to new revelatory videos. Hopefully, and you should pray for them, those that are still in jail, that they will get an early release. And, believe it or not, Biden said yes to drilling in Alaska. Of course, that's to help his 2024 campaign rhetoric. And lastly, now, banking is not our forte, but we do know this. As the Dems say, never let a crisis go to waste. So the government is bailing out this very woke bank and will have to do to others if needed. But it's all for more power and control and a means to advance their agenda toward digital currency. Just like prophecy says, there will be a cashless society.
Okay, if you have any questions or comments, please email us to Sheila at shofarministries.net or just call the office and leave a detailed message too. 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Love offerings are greatly appreciated. And as well, we're looking for any used car should you care to donate, and it's tax deductible. You can also subscribe and donate on our web page, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for you to re-listen and take less hurried notes.
Yes, all the radio programs are on there as well. And that's great because this way you can pause the tape and even replay sections to better lock in your knowledge. And we all need repetition to help our memory.
Boy, do we.
Okay, so we left off at Revelation 4, verse 6, and we covered how John immediately, after the church age, heard the voice of a trumpet and saw an opened portal into heaven for the righteous to enter. And he sees God on the throne with 24 elders sitting around him.
A rainbow and seven lamps of fire.
That represents the church, which are now obviously in heaven. And we know from Hebrew roots that the gates of heaven are opened on Rosh Hashanah,
which is a huge rapture clue.
You think? Okay, let's dive into Revelation 4, verse 6.
Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal.
Okay, we need to pause here. Sea of glass like crystal. Okay, well, since heaven is the temple of God, it must have a laver of water. But now, since washing is not needed, this very large laver is like a sea of glass, where we can stand victoriously on it. And in fact, Revelation 15:2, we actually do see the martyred tribulation saints in heaven standing on the sea of glass, and it's mingled with fire, picturing the fiery trial they had to endure to their death. And let me add a typology. When looking at the temples on earth, there is an outer court, an inner court called the Holy Place, and thirdly, the Holy of Holies.
Housing the throne or the mercy seat.
Because it's the model of heaven, a popular teaching when I was first saved was to ask the question, well, now that you are saved, do you want to be an outer, an inner, or a Holy of Holies Christian? Often comparing it to the parable of Matthew 13 with the different kinds of yield that the sown seed could have. But here's the point. According to Exodus 30, the priest couldn't even enter the inner court unless they first washed in the laver, which was a huge bronze basin of water in the outer court, vertically north from the altar of sacrifice. It's that washing that advanced them from the outer court into the inner court to pray and burn incense.
This is a great typology for the Christian.
Yes, for we know from Ephesians 5:26, the washing represents his word. So, in other words, if we are not in his word, we can't leave the outer court to advance closer to him. Unfortunately, today we see a lot of outer court Christians, and sadly, they are content to stay there. We see as well in John's Gospel, chapter 13, Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, where he told them if they are not washed, they could have no part of him. Why?
Because the water represents his word.
Yeah. Jesus said in John 8, if you abide in my word, then you can be his disciple. Like the Laodicean lukewarm Christian, he can't use you for service. Okay, let's continue in verse 6 and actually go through verse 8.
And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Okay, there is so much here. But let's first begin with another confirming scripture. As we said earlier, Ezekiel had a vision of heaven. And by the way, that was on his 30th birthday.
That was the legal age for a man to begin a ministry.
And like Daniel was in captivity in Babylon. And to come to think of it, John was in captivity on the island of Patmos. So perhaps during our downer days, God gives us revelation.
That is interesting.
Mm-hmm. So let's read how Ezekiel saw it in verses 4 through 10.
I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the earth, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one of the four faces, each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of a burnished stone, bronze. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward.
Okay, that was Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Of course, they wouldn't have to turn, because in John's account, He included that they had eyes on the back of their heads.
Yeah, my mother used to always say that.
Mine too. Anyhow, verse 10 is what we will focus on.
As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had the face of an eagle.
Also, in the earthly tabernacle, according to Exodus 25, it describes two cherubim with two very large wings stationed over the throne. Also, according to Isaiah's vision of the throne in chapter 6, he describes seraphim with six wings, which always were there ready to do God's bidding. So we see that all the accounts of what God chose to show each one have a slightly different vision for various reasons. So I would just put them all together. But what they all wrote about was the four different faces. And that's what we will focus on.
Which all point to Jesus.
Yes. As in the lion from the tribe of Judah.
The ox who carries our burdens.
And also interesting is that the ox head is the picture linked to the Aleph, the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet.
Yeah, all Hebrew letters have a picture attached to it.
And Jesus is the first and the last, so the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet is the Tav. And you know what picture is attached to the Tav?
The cross.
So, he's our ox or burden holder of our sins, who took them to the cross.
Tells a story in just two letters.
And it's all part of digging for that treasure. And again, shows God's details. Well, it's in everything. So, Jesus, being the first and the last letter, encompasses all the letters, which is why in John's Gospel, he calls Jesus the Word, because he's all of it. And you know what Psalm 40, verse 7 says.
The volume of the books is written of me.
And confirmed again in Hebrews 10, verse 7. Okay, next. The face of a man, of course, means his humanity. The all-seeing eagle represents his divinity, and like all eagles, catches their chicks before they fall.
So, these four faces surround the throne.
Yes, but expanded to surround the whole earthly tabernacle outside, called a standard or an ensign, as a painted picture on a banner. And Numbers 1 and 2 tells us, along with each ensign, followed three tribes of camps lined up in even rows in straight ordinal directions, north, south, east, and west, with the Levites in the middle. In the fourth row, situated south of the tabernacle, there were numbered more men than the other three, which made the rows look like a cross from heaven. And when it was time to move, they all moved together in lockstep. So as God watched from heaven, he saw the cross all the time while they were in the desert.
Yeah, there's an image of that on our webpage.
Right. Just click on the Hebrew roots and scroll down just a little, and you can see it yourself. And we will also send it to you upon request. But it's so amazing to discover God's detail.
Truly breathtaking.
And there is more. So, spiritually, since we are now his temple, we also have been gifted with the four faces, the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. They surround us by way of the four gospels, because his word is in us. Think about it. Matthew wrote more to the Jews and mainly speaks of his righteousness as the king of the Jews, and records his genealogy as the son of David of the royal line.
He's the lion from the tribe of Judah.
Now, Mark wrote more to the Gentiles, the Romans, So he used many visuals, speaking mostly of Jesus' servanthood. The Romans liked servants, especially those with the strength of a young ox. And Jesus certainly carries our burdens.
And Mark does not record his genealogy.
Well, right, because people aren't interested in a servant's line.
So Luke is the man.
Right, who also wrote mainly to the Gentiles. And as a doctor, he focuses on Jesus' manhood, his humanity, and as the great physician. Luke takes Jesus' genealogy all the way back to Adam and focuses on the bloodline all the way to Mary's father, who came from David's son, Nathan. That way, it bypassed Jeconiah's blood curse recorded in Jeremiah 22.
Yeah, that'd be a good reread this week.
For sure. And lastly, John focuses on Jesus' deity and divinity, his godship, the living bread who came down from heaven, all-seeing like an eagle who rescues her young when falling, and takes Jesus' genealogy from his pre-existence. John's the most mystical speaking, and he speaks more to the church. Talks about his protection, and that he's all-knowing, and again, all-seeing like an eagle. In fact, honey, please read Deuteronomy 32, verse 11.
God is like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its wings.
And he will stir our nests and take us out of our comfort zone, but that's to make us stronger, but always there to catch us if we fall, because he sees us all the time. Exodus 19:4 says, eagles are also fearless, very good at hunting prey, destroying the enemy, a picture of God's judgment. The eagle is the only ensign that can fly. Reminds me of Isaiah 40, verse 31, where it says, they will soar on wings like eagles, and one day we will fly away. And here's the best typology. It was the female who chooses her mate, and then it was for life. Also, Jewish tradition teaches that men are above all creatures, eagles above all birds, the ox is above all cattle, and the lion is above all beasts. By the way, Matthew hones in on what Jesus said, Mark what he did, Luke how he felt, and John who he really was. The three synoptic gospels focus more on the outer facts of Christ's life, the human aspects of the Galilean ministry. But John's gospel, however, is speaking to the bride and focuses on his divine and private Judean ministry. Never speaks of the tribulation, now why would he? Knowing we aren't here for that. So we did all that tonight so you could better understand the four creatures, or ensigns, and to see once again more evidence of the architectural design of the scriptures. It's no doubt that the book of Revelation is the lens that brings the rest of the scripture into focus. So let me ask you, where is your soul? Is Yeshua Lord over your life? Will you escape the awful tribulation coming? You can, with just a meaningful prayer. Repent and invite him inside your heart, and you will be set free. Let him speak to your soul through his word. Let Yeshua rule over any addictions instead of the God of this world, who has been guiding your life and keeping you trapped, whether you are conscious of that fact or not. I'll leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Shalom, Shalom, Jerusalem. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.